Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Save on your next oil change at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Choose Castrol Edge Full Synthetic Motor Oil to provide maximum performance and protection for your engine. Get a $15 gift card after rebate when you buy 5 quarts of Castrol Edge for $34.95. Plus, 2 times O Rewards points. Offer valid in-store and online at O'ReillyAuto.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Coming at you live from the Copple Chevrolet GMC Studios. This is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Broadcasting veteran Derek Pearson.
When you find something that moves them, that makes them smile, celebrate it. That's your task, that's your superpower.
Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman.
Rifles a pass, it was tipped, it's picked off by Foreman. He's at the 15, 10, 5, he'll score!
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Old School 93.7 The Ticket FM. We're live at Barry's Haymarket. We're going to be here till 6 o'clock. So as you're head down for your pregame to Nebraska Creighton, stop by Barry's. Come see us. Come say hi. The grill is open. So the kitchen's open. The rooftop is open.
You bet.
The drinks are flowing.
Why are we not on the rooftop? You ever think about that?
I don't know. That's a puzzlement. Now I'm really considering that.
Let's take it all.
Let's just go. No, look, this is how this works. The starter Heyman text line, the Honda Lincoln hotline, 402-464-5685. Hit us up if you have questions, commentary, or predictions. Your predictions for the unofficial Nebraska State Basketball Championship.
Oh, yes.
Within the collegiate rates. There's only – Connor, we're trying to figure out what the appropriate trophy should be for Nebraska Creighton basketball.
The trophy is pride. Trophy is bragging rights. No, the best games don't have trophies.
See, but I thought I heard you say that the best games are trophy games.
I like a trophy game.
Okay.
We don't have to manufacture a trophy for the hatred that these two fan bases feel for each other. We don't have to do that like Iowa and Nebraska or Nebraska and Wisconsin. Like they made a corporate trophy for those games. It just feels wrong. It feels slimy. But Iowa and Minnesota play for a pig.
Right. Like
that's
legit.
Understand.
Like, I mean,
you did that
something.
In 1930.
There should be something that travels I-80 and – like maybe a sign on the highway.
Yeah, something
right?
At like, the outlets.
Right, like something.
Something that they put it on the – they have to paint the water tower red or blue for the entire year.
Yeah, Creighton's water tower has to be in Husker red.
The water tower at the outlets, when you're driving up in between
and
Omaha and Lincoln.
Red. Everything's red.
That's
Omaha.
It's a territorial mark.
Question for you, kind sir. Who hates the other more, Nebraska hating Creighton or Creighton hating Nebraska?
Nebraska hating Creighton. Yeah, I think.
Yeah?
Yeah. That's the sense I get.
Is that because they're disloyal and...
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Think, is this a... They think less of Creighton?
Well, it's very complicated. It's gotten more complicated over the last decade that Nebraska hasn't won very much in the series. But, you know, it's the whole little brother thing, but also little brother's pretty good. And then you bring in the whole fans thing.
Is this a Cooper Manning versus Eli thing? Is this
– I don't – it's weird.
Is this a Peyton Eli thing?
You know, I said
is
little this... brother, but I don't know that – I don't know that the two view themselves as related. You know what I mean?
But if Creighton fans
– they have different worldviews.
Celebrate all of the Husker football victories,
yeah,
then shame on you.
Some do, yes. Most do. For
right,
sure.
Most of them, like – for all but those months of the year.
Now, you got to remember here, this is a recent development over the last, you know, decade, I'd say, or so, since Nebraska football has been a little, you know, wobbly. Some just stopped paying attention to Nebraska football. Like, that exists. That doesn't, you know, and they still go to their Creighton games and whatever. Now, another thing that Nebraska fans can always hold over Creighton fans is that Nebraska fans are more loyal, more, I think, more passionate as well. They have a lot of that same feel when it's engaging, right?
Okay.
But when Creighton's not engaging, which not they're not necessarily engaging right now, you know, Nebraska fans are going to be there every game. So Creighton fans aren't necessarily going to be there.
What does Omaha and Creighton fans do from August until basketball season? What do they do?
They be human beings, and they
barely, right?
They
I heard otherwise.
They do root for football teams.
Okay.
And usually it's Nebraska. Yes.
Okay.
They were red on Saturdays and then blue the rest of the week. Yeah, that does happen.
It's just so crazy to me. Like, I want to understand this. So this is on the greatest.
Look, man, you don't have – like,
I'm new
Nebraska
to this.
Doesn't
Look,
have
I'm
anybody
new.
To blame – you know, Creighton – Nebraska can't blame anybody on this except for themselves. If, like, this whole thing exists because Creighton was the prominent program for the last 25, 30 years.
Ooh, is that a sick burn?
No, it's true. Like that's why it exists for me. I never knew what Nebraska basketball even was like until I got to college. I'm not kidding.
See, I'm firmly walking Connor into getting the Husker fans all fired up. Like, just fully, just allow Connor to just say all that, because I understand it. I understand that Creighton is within the boundaries.
Yeah,
but the Husker is still a thing. Like, folks were born. You were born a corner.
For sure. For sure. And definitely there were people that were. I mean, it comes from personal experience, right? My family, I mean, I wasn't necessarily born into rooting for Nebraska football. It just came to me because all my friends were like, hey, let's watch this football game on Saturday, and they happened to wear red. So you eventually figured it out. Also, we went to the Creighton games at the Civic Auditorium, and they were fun, and they had Kyle Korver and Ryan Sears and stuff like that, and that was awesome. I never thought about the – you know, what was going on in Lincoln. I never thought about it, honestly, until later down the road, and the rivalry became more pronounced, and then you start to learn about it and the history and the fan base that they obviously have.
They're cursing at you on the text
That's line. Okay.
Using adult-type words on the text line.
These are all experiences that I've shared before, and I think there's – you know, they might be silent right now, but I know that there's a lot of people who – have the same sentiment as me. A lot of young Connors out there.
My goodness. You know, so Trundle says, what's up, Trundle? He says, Connor is conveniently leaving out the part about Creighton being huge cheaters.
Okay. I have not left it out. It just didn't come up. So we can't bring up cheating. We can't do that at all?
Yeah, we can. You absolutely can. This is what this is for. See, this is what rivalries have to be: two-sided, slightly venomous, always sarcastic, and pointed. Like, it has to be. So whatever Creighton does poorly, Nebraska fans should be all over it, and vice versa.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not here to throw shots across the bow or anything, but just, you know, careful.
Come on. Like, this, you know, you – you're amongst friends.
Careful.
You're amongst friends. Are you implying that there's some issue within Husker athletics?
No, I'm just saying, you know, it's common, you know. It happens in college basketball. And
I've never seen you backswim before. I've never seen you backstroke before. Like, this is usually you're in full butterfly diving and splashing, and now you're backstroking.
Here I am. This is my comfort zone. I'm in my pool.
So
right now,
I was asked this earlier, so I'll ask you: who is going to be the number three scorer for Nebraska? Because without them, this thing doesn't go well for them.
Yeah,
who's number three?
I don't know. I guess I hadn't thought about it that way. You know, more so than Verge needing to be one of the guys that, you know, gets a scoring load tonight, and he does. But more so than that, I want him to feel the game come to him a little bit more. So I'd watch out for that. If I were to pick a third guy, it's probably just the placeholder spot for whoever comes in hot shooting three-pointers. That spot could be reserved for CJ or Tominaga or, you know, Lat, you know, who hasn't really got going yet. So it could be anybody. I think they have plenty of capable guys who could do it, though.
You're now Coach Happer for the Huskers. How many minutes does Eduardo Andre give you in a win?
I know a lot of people.
But that's why I asked, because I know you think about it differently.
I do. I think about it a little differently. I loved what he gave him the last two games, and I think that there's spots on each individual game where you can put him in and put him in interesting situations and match him up.
Okay.
But what he gave you that was so important the last game was energy.
Okay.
That they didn't have. So you're hoping that Nebraska will just be able to have that energy right out of the gate today, and you don't need to, like, hey, let's put Ed in, and he can, like, give you a huge shot in the arm, you know? Maybe he can, but you'd hope that they're able to kind of sustain that energy throughout. So, you have the ability, with how deep Nebraska is, to bring in different guys to do different things on a nightly basis, different things, right?
That's why
we need a couple threes
important.
Here comes Lakes, you know, from deep off the bench. We need energy in a defensive threat underneath the rim. Here comes Andre. So they have those specialty roles, which are nice.
Who's the best player off Nebraska's bench, in your mind?
I think the most dangerous is Keisei Tominaga. Yeah, you have to just know where he is all the time.
And for Creighton?
It's probably – so they're going to go with – now, we'll see what they do with Sharif if he's back. But they're going to go with Nemhard, Alexander, O'Connell, Kaluma, and Kalkbrenner. I'm pretty sure that's kind of been their lineup.
Mm-hmm. All above 8 points a game. Most of those above three rebounds a game.
Yeah. Gosh, I don't know who would be the top guy off the bench that they would bring up. Probably Faisal then. Yeah, I mean, they only go about six or seven deep. It's not, you know, it hasn't been exactly great for
them. That's my next question, because that depth will come into play tonight.
Yeah, without Sharif. If they don't have Sharif Mitchell, for sure. But if they do, he could soak up a lot of that, and they can exchange guards a little bit better with Nemhard and then put him wherever they want defensively.
What do you propose for this thing? So Nebraska has the opportunity. They generally put up 70 points a game. Creighton puts up 70 a game. Creighton holds teams to 60. Nebraska holds them to 70. What do you think this thing looks like? Their over-under is 144.
Yeah, I think it's about right. Low 70s. I like I told you earlier, I think there's a path to any result happening tonight. Like, I think there is a path to Nebraska avalanching them and, you know, roll it out of here like they feel, you know, and we're talking about a different season tomorrow morning. I don't know if there's as wide of a path for Creighton to do the same thing. It just doesn't feel like a team that's going to quite avalanche you. I just don't think they have as many capable shooters as Nebraska does. But, you know, you shorten it down in the middle of those two, and we're probably looking at a close game. I think – you know, most if you look at each of these teams' first two games, you're probably thinking rock fight, but they're playing each other, they're filling each other out. Upper 60s, low 70s.
Offensive rebounds for Creighton tonight, over under.
Yeah, they're gonna have
16.
That's one.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Area where they're going to be pretty good, I think, which is contrary to, I think, what they kind of want to be or what they have been over the last kind of decade here under McDermott. Kalkbrenner and Kaluma will do a pretty good job there underneath them. But if Nebraska, like, what matters is effort. So if you get beat up there in the stat column, but you're contesting and you know you're cleaning, you're clearing off the easy ones, and you're not, you know, tipping it around to yourself and giving them an extra possession, you could live with that. If they win the rebounding battle, if they get a few offensive rebounds, you can live with that. They just can't get all of them. You know what I mean? So it can't be like Western Illinois for Nebraska. It has to be a little closer to second half against Sam Houston.
If I asked you to give numbers that make these percentages work for Nebraska's good, from the field, what number should Nebraska shoot?
Man, I don't know. That's not really how. Gosh. I mean, just a reasonably good night. I don't know. Like, I don't view it as we need to get to this number because they're going to get this. You know what I mean? Like, that's how we usually do football games because we have a better understanding of who the football teams are. I think these two teams are pretty evenly matched. So I think you go possession for possession with them. You hope that you can hit more threes and survive on the offensive boards. And I think that's kind of the recipe for them.
How many points?
Get out and run maybe a little bit.
How many points is the home crowd worth to Nebraska tonight?
I'm curious. I don't know what the 6 o'clock game does. You start to kind of feel the buzz and, you know, chatter or whatever as the day goes along. So that's good. I hope it's as good as it was 3 years ago, but I have my doubts. I mean, it's a Tuesday. It's 6 o'clock. It's still November. You have to get your kind of brain in the right place. We'll see.
Why is this a 6 o'clock Tuesday game instead of a 7 o'clock primetime Saturday game?
So usually they play their own. They kind of schedule it as a one-off every single year, and then they go back to back, and you know they just negotiate it amongst the coaches. And this year they did that. McDermott said, "You guys can play it at home since we played it at home the last 2 years, and the 1 year we didn't have fans." So they worked with them on that. But they slammed it into what's called the Gavitt games, the Gavitt tip-off games this year. So it's the Big East Big Ten Challenge. There's 8 games there every year. Nebraska was in it again this year. Creighton was in it again this year. They just matched them up. And so then they get control over kind of when to schedule it and where to put it on TV and stuff like that. So that's what sucks. And those Gavitt games are happening yesterday, today, tomorrow. Big East is up 2-0.
I'll let you get out of here, but I'll close with this. Connor Happer, give me a result here. Who wins this thing tonight and why?
I've gone back and forth about 800 times today, and I have really not stopped thinking about it. But I come back to Nebraska. I think if we're playing the odds, I think Nebraska has more consistent and capable shooters at this stage. There are definitely things about Creighton that I'm worried about. At least how they match up with Nebraska and things like that, and how they operate specifically in this game. You're worried about him in the half court. A guy like Sharif Mitchell could really flip this thing if he goes tonight, and we'll get an update on that really shortly. So I think, you know, if I'm guessing, I think it's 72-69, something like that, Nebraska.
I don't disagree. Thank you, kind sir.
Be fun, wouldn't it?
Go get in your pregame. Go celebrate. We'll bring in the big dude. Let's bring in Jay Foreman. Connor, if you will grab the massive man and bring
paging Jay Foreman.
You have to call him Husker Hall of Famer.
You're not going
to
take a break?
Answer. Nah.
Okay, cool.
Let's hang here.
Handoff.
Let's get him loose. The handoff will be fine. Again, we're live at Barry's in the Haymarket. We'll be here till 6 o'clock for the pregame show. Huskers, Blue Jays. 6 o'clock tip. Jay Foreman stepping in. We got you. Get it in.
Last time they gave you, tried to give me Ebola or something.
you got some Blue Jay on that. You know?
Oh yeah, yeah. If it got some Blue Jay on it,
you know, we have to do that.
Creighton Blue Jays, they the wine and cheese type of people, man. Yeah, I'm talking about you. Yeah, you guys are the uppity duppities people. Y'all good with me though. I got a ton of respect for Creighton.
Why?
Because that's where Benoit Benjamin went.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Right? Oh, Benoit Benjamin, the first.
Is he or Kyle Korver the greatest Blue Jay?
Kyle Korver is the greatest Creighton Blue Jay. Korver is a good dude.
Okay.
But Benoit Benjamin was the first time I ever knew that they played basketball in Omaha in college.
He was angry all the time.
And they had brothers too. And he wore double zero.
Yeah, like for 7 footer.
He's the only 7 footer that had a piece of paper vertical.
He really didn't jump. Yeah, that wasn't his game. That wasn't his
Creighton,
game.
Creighton fan. What's the other dude that you guys had that Charles Barkley used to destroy his name just about 5 years ago? Yes. Yeah. He was good, too. That was before your time, man. He was like Benoit Benjamin 2.0, except for he was about 3 inches shorter.
Yeah, Tolliver's a Blue Jay, too.
Yeah. Tolliver.
Tolliver's a Blue Jay, too.
Yeah.
So
Blue Jays got some dudes. Then they got Doug McDermott.
But
he's a modern-day Larry Bird.
Is he?
Or he was.
Okay. You're giving him way too much credit.
Yeah, I know, because I'd lock him up, too.
You're giving him way too much.
I'd lock Doug McDermott the hell up.
Yeah, you're giving him way too much credit. You know, it's okay.
Well, he did that. They did the Sports Illustrated thing with him.
I know, but that's still, like, no, that's too much.
Yeah, it's too much.
That's too much. So what do you think happens tonight? Talk to me. What do you think happens tonight?
I don't know, man. It's you got two young teams, and young in the sense that they haven't played a lot of basketball together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think Nebraska is probably more talented, say, from 1 through 10. But the one thing about Creighton that's really, really respectable, and this is why they're always a factor, even like, you know, like last year they weren't supposed to be like supposedly really good, is that they know what they're recruiting to, what position, what type of player, and who they are. So the transition for a new player is easier because they're recruiting at the beginning of their career or middle. And they change it sometimes, depending on who they get in their recruiting classes or who they pay, right? You know, so, you know, they do be – they on video and paying cats, you know what I'm saying?
We talked about the cheating allegation.
Yeah, well, now all seriousness, so they can kind of continue to roll and in these early tests that, you know, games that are going to be a good test, you know, they can play with a little bit more confidence because they know exactly what they're doing. You know, who plays this role. So it's kind of like a system that runs. And, you know, they're well coached. But I think Nebraska can overwhelm them with, you know, their speed and quickness. And I think, you know, I know people have been taking shots at Verge. I think I think the really good thing that happened this week that him and Fred Hoiberg were able to get together. And then the head coach was kind of trying to say, hey, I know what you were seeing here or what were you seeing, but actually this is how you need to operate within this offense to make this team go. So, you know, it's a good problem to have, but it's hard when you have so many young weapons. Because when you got Wiltshire and only had 3 shots, you know that's serious because he's a two-way player. He can defend. He can handle the ball. He can shoot from the outside. He's thick enough to guard some bigs within reason. He's a tough kid. The only thing is I think if Verge gets off early, and it's not necessarily from points, getting guys touches. You know, one of the things, you know, I'm assuming that hopefully has been told to him is that early in the game, if you got to take it, obviously, you know, because I think he has a, you know, advantage against whoever would guard him at 1 or 2 spot. But get these guys touches, not even shots, get them touches. Right?
Yep.
So then once you get that, then they get touches and you get some more flow in the offense, and then, you know, the rest is history. So I think it's going to come down to rebounding, you know, just like, you know, last week. I think Nebraska's effort for everybody to rebound really paid off towards the middle of the second half, and that's where you start to see them start to separate themselves. You saw Sam Houston start to miss shots that they were making pretty easy in the first half. You saw Nebraska start to execute. Then you saw them tie the game, and then earlier in the game it was like all Sam Houston would get back within 2 or get up by 2 when Nebraska pulled away, and that's what really, you know, set, I think, a good tone for them for the rest of the season. It's not going to be one guy rebounding. It's going to be everybody. I think Eduardo Andre was the X factor in that game. I think a game like this against Creighton matches up well for him to have another – big game. It's his energy, it's his size, and, you know, I know we talked before, his ability, his hands, strong hands, just naturally strong hands to catch the ball is a really big asset considering the way that, you know, Coach Hoiberg likes to play.
It's going to be interesting to me because this is, again, full crowd, rivalry game, interstate rivalry,
sure,
state championship game, directional championship game for Nebraska, right? Whether they're on the right path, a win over Creighton allows them to exhale and get to work and be productive. But I'm not sure that anybody's sure what's going to happen tonight.
That, well, you know what? That makes the game more exciting because, you know, both teams know the potential, but both teams or both fan bases know the potential, but they don't know what's going to happen. And it's a good test for both teams early in the season. Definitely a teachable game, but then also it's a game that, you know, from a coaching standpoint, you're going to see how some of these young guys react to a big-time atmosphere, electric atmosphere, even though the game is at 6 p.m., you know, with
– I'm bothered by that.
I'm bothered by that, but I'm really bothered by if the person's in here with that came from County 74 that I had to ride my horn for two blocks.
Get him.
It made me 5 minutes late.
Get
brother
him.
Liked to be punctual.
Get him.
I got to come see you. Is that – no, no. He looked up. I thought it was him. No, I'm just playing. But, yeah, so, you know, it's going to be good that, you know, good test. It's going to see where guys are, and it's a big game. And it's good for both teams. You got a young teams in the sense of continuity. I like both teams' makeup. I like, you know, both the coaches. It's not a make-or-break game, but, you know, I think Nebraska definitely has a slight edge. And I think they're looking forward to it. I think they're a deeper team, you know, where they can kind of come at you with waves of guys. You know, I think they're legitimately 10 guys that actually can play basketball. And 11, maybe, you know. And, you know, I think Creighton's about 7. But they got some shooters and they got, you know, more seasoned guys. But they got some transfers in. They got all kind of like a whole new roster. They kind of had to, you know, change some things up from last year considering what happened. So it's going to be interesting to see how this new version of Creighton is because they always had known characters, right? Now you kind of – who's going to be that guy, that lead dog that steps out there for Creighton? Versus who's going to, you know, be the lead dog for Nebraska, which you kind of Verge, or, you know, you got both McGowans, you got Wilcher, you know, it's kind of always like Verge is going to be the guy that, you know, stirs the pot, and then who else is going to be, you know, coming along with him.
It's going to be a good one, and, you know, folks are starting to flow in. Come on down. We're Barry's here in the Haymarket. Be here till 6 o'clock, $3 Busch Lights. The rooftop is open. The kitchen is open.
The rooftop's open.
The rooftop is
open. How come we're not on the rooftop?
You are the third person today who's asked that question.
But I'm the only one that counts. Who's the other two? Who are the other two?
You got to talk to the other folks, man. I'm just here. We'll throw it to break. When we come back, the Husker Hall of Famer, Jay Foreman, myself, we're live at Barry's Haymarket. This is 93.7 The Ticket.
You're listening to Old School with DP and Jay. Download the mobile app and listen wherever you are on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
If you love hurricanes, daiquiris, and, well, any rum cocktail, listen up. Captain Morgan's about to shake things up like never before. We're talking Bourbon Street, New Orleans, home to legendary drinks and unforgettable moments. But what if we told you the most iconic cocktails here have one thing in common? Hint? It's not bourbon. That's right, it's rum. And Captain Morgan is bringing unforgettable fun to Bourbon Street in a way you won't want to miss. Get ready for something big as we gear up for Super Bowl 59. Make sure to keep your eyes on NOLA's most iconic street. Who knows? Bourbon Street might just need a new name. Stay tuned for clues and get ready for the most legendary adventure yet. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan Original Spice Rum, 35% alcohol by volume. Captain Morgan Rum Company, New York, New York.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, oh.